There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Uh-huh. Venus. Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and our media environment. My name is Paul Reisman, and of course with me in the studio today is producer Drew Tirico. On today, the second anniversary edition of Media Geek, we're going to take a look into the archives, and we're going to hear from a man who really inspired Media Geek to be here and to cover the areas which it covers. That man is Mbana Kantako, who is the force behind Human Rights Radio, one of the longest-lasting unlicensed micropower stations in the country, and really, in many ways, has been the inspiration for the entire unlicensed micropower movement in the U.S. We'll hear excerpts from a talk he gave on February the 18th, 1998, the University of Illinois Springfield, one of his very few public appearances and talks. And, of course, we'll take a look back at the week in communications with Media Geek News. Do stay tuned. And before we launch into the news here, I do want to make a program note that I can announce. On April 23rd, we'll be lucky enough to have Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! In the studios here during Media Geek. She is going to be visiting Champaign-Urbana as part of her book tour for her new book, The Exception to the Rulers, Exposing Oily Politicians, War Profiteers, and the Media That Love Them. She will come here and also do a benefit talk for WEFT, April 23rd, Illinois Disciples Foundation, Springfield and Wright Streets in Champaign, beginning at 6:15. And luckily, of course, she's going to stop by the station, and she has the time to be here on Media Geek at 5:30 on April 23rd. We'll have more announcements as it becomes closer, because I think we will want to take questions from you, the Media Geek listener, by email. So think about things you'd like to ask me, Amy Goodman, about the issues, especially regarding issues of the media. Now getting into the news, we have good news about Radio Free Brattleboro, this scrappy unlicensed community station in Brattleboro, Vermont. On March 2nd, Election Day in Vermont, Radio Free Brattleboro won the support of nearly two-thirds of Brattleboro voters who pledged their support to the station in a ballot initiative that read, quote, "We, the undersigned registered voters of Brattleboro, Vermont, request that the following advisory question appear." I'm sorry, I'm misreading this, but here's the actual question, quote, "Shall the voters of Brattleboro give to Radio Free Brattleboro authority to broadcast until such a time that a low-power FM license is issued to Radio Free Brattleboro or to another nonprofit locally based community group which is prepared to offer to the town of Brattleboro diverse, all-access, non-commercial community radio?" It was an amazing show of community support for Brattleboro's only community radio station, which comes as the FCC is trying to use court power to try and shut down the station. And it then continues the saga of this small community station for a small community in Vermont, which has gotten the support of its community to rally behind it.
Clear Channel just got hit with $247,500 worth of fines, $27,500 for each of the 9 violations the radio network aired last year. Congress voted today, March 12th, to fine the network at the maximum level for each instance of indecent broadcast. But that amount could change quite severely in the coming months. Today, by a 391-22 vote, the House voted to boost the maximum fines for broadcasters airing indecent content, even allowing for the punishment of performers. The bill would impose fines of up to $500,000 per violation, up from the $27,000 $500 fine under current law. If the fines were applied on a per-station basis, a single incident could, in theory, cost the network millions of dollars. Broadcasters also could have their licenses revoked after a third violation. A similar bill is currently in the Senate, but faces more opposition due to its amendments. One amendment relates specifically to cross-ownership rules, which have been subject to vigorous debate. Last June, the FCC voted 3-2 to adopt new rules allowing owners to own more television stations. That decision was blocked for a time by various measures in Congress by the Democrats, and still remains blocked by a federal appeals court in Philadelphia. Arguments are still being presented as to whether the block will become permanent. The Senate amendment on the current bill that's being voted on, though, would freeze the FCC's media ownership rules in place for a year. It would also require that the General Accounting Office study whether there is any link between indecent programming and media ownership concentration. In addition, the General Accounting Office would also be required to study whether consumers are taking advantage of the V-chip to screen out offensive or violent TV programming. And a new for-profit radio syndicate network is slated to have its programs broadcast in three major American cities. AM stations in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles will soon be featuring celebrity social commentators such as Chuck D, Al Franken, and Janine Garofalo. The network, known as Air America Radio, makes no pretense about the inspiration behind its inception, Rush Limbaugh. Al Franken's show, to be called the, quote, the O'Franken Factor, aims its sights squarely on the Fox News program, The O'Reilly Factor, starring Bill O'Reilly. Radio commentators like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and TV's O'Reilly have long been blamed by liberals, quote-unquote, for their rabid right-wing agendas and claims to freedom from political biases. A liberal radio network may seem like the obvious weapon to beat the blowhards at their own game, but it may end up serving the interests of producers like those involved in CNN's Crossfire or Fox's Hannity and Combs, which thrive on the left versus right controversy without examining the underlying structure of the media environment. Janine Garofalo will talk about her role on the fledgling radio network on Robert McChesney's local radio program, Media Matters, which airs this Sunday at 1 p.m. on WILL AM 580.
Thank you, Drew, and you are listening to Media Geek. We'll be back in just a moment with a talk from Ambana Kantako recorded in 1998. In the meantime, you can learn more about all the topics we talk about on Media Geek at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org, where you can also listen to archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open-source Ogg Vorbis format. Do stay tuned.
My radio advised with every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes.
Well, this is the second anniversary of the Media Geek program in this time slot, and it actually was an outgrowth of a program I did beginning in the fall of 1996 called Radio Free Conscience, alternating Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. And one of the inspirations to bring the program to the air in the first place was the burgeoning unlicensed micropower radio movement. And I learned about a man named Ambana Kantako around that time who has been broadcasting in Springfield, Illinois since about 1987, I believe, and has continued to broadcast despite several visits from the FCC, but none that have taken down his station permanently. He gives very few interviews. He does very few talks. And back in 1998, in January, he spoke at the University of Illinois Springfield at the behest of Professor Ron Sikorski, a friend of mine who is retired from there but has been a longtime champion of micropower radio, as well as all sorts of rebellious anti-authoritarian communication, especially through music. And he brought Ambana to speak to people about micropower radio and the larger issue of human rights. And what started out as Tenants' Rights Association Radio and has become Human Rights Radio. So he gives a little bit of that history, as well as his own unique take on living life right now in this world and in America, is the only way I can put it. He's quite an inspiration and continues to this day. So we'll go right in to this talk by Ambana Kantako from February 18th, 1998, at the University of Illinois Springfield, entitled From WTRA to Human Rights Radio.
To the ancestors, to the elders, to the adults, to the children, to the unborn, whether you're with us this afternoon or amongst those who may hear this over Human Rights Radio, Zalango. It's a greeting we use to basically try to make everybody feel comfortable. It means, come, let us co-create something beautiful out of love and truth. And that's really what we've been trying to do with Human Rights Radio, though we didn't know it even back in the day when it was called WTRA. And I guess that's what we're here to talk about, I work at Human Rights Radio and what we feel it's about. If you read quite a few national magazines and so forth, you'll find that they refer to us as the founder of the micro radio movement. I've got to be honest with you, never in our work did we ever discuss becoming a part of a micro radio movement. Never in our work did we discuss anything like that. From the very beginning, our efforts were toward addressing the wrongs that our people were enduring in this country. So back in the day, I guess November 87, summer of 87, we were discussing the development of what's now grown to be Human Rights Radio. It wasn't with we had no intent of saying, hey, if we do this, we'll be the first ones in the country to do. Our intention when we started up the station was simply to address the unfair situation that our people were being subjected to. And at the time, from the title of the station, you can tell we thought it was really like a landlord-tenant matter. WTRA stood for W Tenants Rights Association. We wasn't really trying to do anything, but we thought from the way we had been propagandized that within the confines of the system, there were steps one could take to address injustices. And if one would take those steps, then those injustices would be dealt with. Well, we went that way. We went. And I can remember going to, say, the criminal operation called the Springfield Housing Authority at the time, and I was asking them for a copy of their HUD manual, the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Rules of Life of Our People. They had these manuals that the Housing Authority had, and I remember getting them. And, man, each of them was about 4 inches thick, and I remember taking them to the house, and I remember just telling myself, all you need to do is learn what's in these books, and man, when you start running it down to them, everything gonna change. Well, we learned quite a bit what was in those books. And when we went to our first confrontation with the Housing Authority on the first thing that they informed us once they saw how aware we was of the contents of those books was that those books are outdated. We got some new ones now. That's devastating, man, when you take all that time to, get up on all these different information to find out that, well, it really forced us to question what we was doing then. And about the same time our Creator blessed us, so many times we can't even name them all, but around the same time we ran into a brother by the name of Sosayas Nkabi. And I gotta say, by the Creator's permission, we've been blessed to have an opportunity to study with some of the best teachers around. One in this room, Brother Michael Townsend, and Brother Muhammad Salam out of Atlanta, Georgia, a Muslim. And we studied with Yahweh Ben Yahweh, the leading Hebrew in the country for quite some time. We had an opportunity to sit at the feet of many folks that had knowledge to share with us. But at the time we just got kicked around by the housing, we were sitting at the feet of a brother by the name of Sosayas Nkabi. And I was letting him know how disappointed I was that I had did all that studying on them books, and then they told me that the books were irrelevant. And he was saying, well, brother, you ought to start thinking about rules that they can't change. Well, hell, I never knew nothing like that in my life, rules that they can't change. And he started talking to me about human rights. And at the time, I was like, wait a minute, what is human rights? And he said, these are the rights you're born with, brother. And I thought, oh, here we go again. They done finally got somebody that's going to try to take the militancy out of our work. Get us to do some of this old pray all night kind of work. You know what I'm saying? And so we didn't really want to hear about human rights. But the more we became trying to make ourselves aware of different things like the rules regarding voter registration. Yeah, that was another thing we ran into. We was registering folks to vote because, we again thought in the beginning that within the confines of the system we could address the injustices and they would be dealt with. So we registered the group we was with called the Tenants Rights Association, WTRA stood for. We registered more folks to vote probably than any organization of its kind in the city of Springfield. And what we thought, well, we're doing our best to register folks, and once we come up with the idea, they got them little voting things that they got to use when you do finally get to the polls that maybe some of our people are a little unsure about using. If we could get one of them and take to the homes when we register people, we could like get rid of some of the apprehensions in the people about voting. We looked in the rules of the voting thing, in the registering thing. There were no rules against it whatsoever. But when we brought it up to the election commission, you thought we'd grow the tail when we was talking to them. Man, they went off. No, we can't do it. Well, show us where it says you can't do it at then. There was nothing that said they couldn't do it. But they chose not to allow us to do it. And oh, when we started up the radio station. Well, it's kind of clear. We looked at the situation and there was no rules about no radio station under 100 watts. There was no rules whatsoever about a radio station with less than 100 watts. So who in the world would get upset when someone would start one that's 0.4 watts? Not even a half of a watt. Those that write the rules got upset about it, of course. Well, you know, when you keep on trying to go by the rules and you notice that every time you get the rules down pat and you come to the arena to do battle that they change the rules, pretty soon if you're intelligent, sooner or later you got to say, wait a minute now. And more I try to deny it, the more it made sense, this human rights discussion. These rights that we be born with, the right to live, the right to grow, the right to be what one was created to be, the more those rights started to sound good to us. And we tried to follow what was happening with the political situation, and it came to our attention that every legislative session, the spring session, the criminal operation called the Illinois State Legislature, they passed 1,400 new laws. Went down the Capitol building one time and ran into the book of laws, thicker than you is tall. And ain't none of y'all in this room can stand up and tell us that you're a law-abiding citizen for certain, because you don't know what the laws are. And if you learned the ones from last year, they got 1,400 new ones for you this year. Boy, those human rights start sounding better and better. And when the FCC showed up in 1989 to tell us that we was breaking a law that they hadn't even wrote, boy, those human rights start sounding even better and better. But we stuck with WTRA until the visit of the FCC. And then it was clear that we just, this system was a crooked system. Now, you got to understand, we wasn't just dealing with the information that we had gathered in our effort. But we had generations of evidence that this was not a good situation to be trying to do good up in. We had generations of evidence. It wasn't just our own. But when you throw in your own life experiences, I tell people that say, I got to go vote because I feel... I say, you better go ahead and do that. Because had somebody told me not to register folks to vote at the time my mind was set up like that, I'd have told them to go to hell. I'm going to get my rights, I would have told them. If somebody would have told me not to march on City Hall for some voting rights, I'd have told them to go to hell. I thought that was a solution because my mind had been prepared to think that way. You couldn't have stopped me if you wanted to. And that's why I won't try to stop you. All I can do is share with you the experiences that we had. And maybe in doing so, it might make you see the futility in it. They tell me that it takes $300,000 to get a seat in the legislature for the state of Illinois. I never heard nobody talk about how many votes it takes. They said it takes $300,000. And I would conclude that those that would make the $300,000 available have bought themselves a mouthpiece. And those that didn't make the $300,000 available, oh well. You know, you don't want to talk about human rights because I know at first I thought it was a weak thing. I thought it would, you know. But then I realized that the real question about our ability to deal with human rights was based on what value we placed on our right to exist. Yeah, folks would like to say, well, I ain't into that human rights thing because I think you're full of shit, man. When in truth, you're not into the human rights thing because when you think about it, you haven't yet placed any value on yourself. And that was the challenge that I was given at the time Brother brought it to us about human rights. What value did we place on ourselves? None. Because we were begging for permission to do what we were born with a right to do. The difference between WTRA and Human Rights Radio is the difference between civil rights and human rights. It's the difference between hip-hop and rap. Begging and asserting your rights. That deep. But see, this whole question of how you will or if you will be able to deal with the question of human rights, it ain't got nothing to do, well, I might be able to move you toward that if I'm blessed to find the right words and arrange them in the right way. But after that, it's still going to come down to what you think about yourself. When you look around the creation, it don't take long to realize that we're the only ones in the creation that's being charged to live. It don't take long to realize why that is. We're in a situation where the rights that one is born with is the last thing on the agenda. I can remember studying one of them Lincoln-Douglas debates. And Douglas was sweating Lincoln. He was on Lincoln about the fact, you know, well, Lincoln was saying to Douglas, hey, man, what's up with slaves? You know, this here whole thing about these slaves and their rights. And Douglas said, look, what you're talking about is a question that was resolved when we wrote the Constitution. Human rights versus business rights. We resolved that when we wrote the Constitution. And that's what folks need to comprehend. The Constitution was not just a crime against African people. But the Constitution was a crime against humanity. Because it took and it said that it was legal to deny human rights.
And you're listening to a talk by Mbana Kantako from WTRA to Human Rights Radio. He's one of the longest-lasting unlicensed micropower broadcasters in the U.S., and he still broadcasts right now to Springfield, Illinois at 106.7 FM. You're listening to Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and, of course, our media environment. And we'll now return you to this talk by Mbana Kantako.
And that is a crime beyond all crime. And in Article 1, they set to define what a human being was. And they said all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and in rights. You pick up the Constitution, they say that I'm a three-fifths of a person. How the hell could I even think that I have a right to some dignity when they write down in the rules of the road, if you will, that I'm three-fifths of a person? And they ain't took it out today. You can go look in there. There ain't no provisions to really eliminate the condition that brought my people here in the first place. I know the 13th Amendment, read it. No person shall be held in slavery or servitude unless they have been duly convicted of a crime. Did you know it said that? Maybe that's got something to do why the prison population has gone up the way it has. And you can't get a decent salary at work no more. Competing against slave labor would make it difficult, wouldn't it? It would make it extremely difficult. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and in rights, and they are endowed with, born with, they say, reason, a mind, and conscience. This is what separates us from all the other living creatures in the creation, this conscience. We review the data that's available today, as we did throughout our days in Human Rights Radio. And of course, we had to move from WTRA. We went to Zoom Black Magic, but then there were some folks that had another program that picked up that name we wasn't interested in no more. We went to Black Liberation Radio. I'm going to tell you something. I read the Emancipation Proclamation. It don't say black in there one time. I read the Fugitive Slave Law. It don't say black in there one time. Isn't that devastating? Do you know what that means? It wasn't just a black thing on the side of a slaveholder. or the slave. But we've all been purposely miseducated, you know? You read them. Find the word black in there any time. In either one of those documents. The Fugitive Slave Act wasn't just any kind of an act. It spoke about things like, say, if one of you knew that I was acting like I'm acting, and you didn't go tell, they could charge you $1,000. You think about if they charge you $1,000 in 1998, wouldn't that put you behind the eight ball? What about they charge you $1,000 in the 1830s, the 1850s? It'd just about do you up, wouldn't it? You'd about go tell on Jesus then, wouldn't you? When you start talking about the top 1% got more wealth than the bottom 90%, you're still talking about 95%. You're talking about a whole bunch of white folks, ain't you? Ain't you? You're talking about almost three times as many white folks living in poverty in this country as you're talking about black folks in this country. I thought it was a white thing. We thought it was a black thing when we went through the Black Liberation Radio thing. And certainly we thought when we turned to Black Liberation Radio, all the black middle class would be supportive of the work that we're doing. But we found that they used it as a cover to further perpetuate the crimes that they had carried out as black slave owners. You know there were black slave owners in this country? Well, when we changed the name from Black Liberation Radio, we first then went to African Liberation Radio. And then we started examining the symbols and signs on the back of the dollar bill. We thought that is too broad of a term. We do not want to include ourselves in that. So Human Rights Radio. We thought by changing the name to Human Rights Radio that every time we would say this word, you would challenge people to think better of themselves. Kind of hard to do in a system that's designed to beat you down every day, all day. It's kind of hard to think better of yourself. It's kind of hard to think anything of yourself. In fact, what you would probably prefer to do is just talk about whether you think I make sense or I don't make sense. Why, as I stand up here trying to challenge you to think better of yourself. Over time, with the radio, we've learned, we've grown, been blessed to learn a lot of things, but the thing that kept us going is that we were seeking the truth. We were seeking to find out what the real deal was. And so when it came clear that it wasn't a tenants' rights association matter, we had the strength to change the direction. When it became clear that it wasn't a voting rights matter, we were blessed with the strength to change the direction. Our get-together today is to challenge you to find the strength in you to seek an alternative way of relating to this thing called life as opposed to the one that has been imposed upon all of us. Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. We was talking down in chapter 2 before we come up here. Why is it that folks hold on to hope in the system? Is the elders would explain it that you would have to be able to see there to be a creator before you could actually say, let's do something different than this. Without really being able to see there's a creator, you probably think that we better hold on to this because without this, we gonna have trouble. My folks ain't never know nothing but trouble because of this. We're in a new time, a very new time. When we stood up here, probably out here somewhere on this campus 10 years ago and talked about the fact that we was getting ready to start up the station. I'm sure some applauded because they thought this will get rid of them. But our ability to be on 3,000 tonight will make 3,294 nights. Our ability to maintain a broadcast throughout this time is proof that our great creative spirit never lied to the elders. Because when we asked the elders, why was we allowed to go through this situation, this Holocaust, they told us it was about making us a better people. I was talking to Brother Michael Townsend about this at the table this afternoon. I said, you know, Michael, if you go ask people about changing the way things are done in this country, a lot of folks ain't going to be too willing to even think about that. after all they done been through already up in this country. Can you imagine what it was like before this experience, trying to convince people that there would be a need to deal with conflict? If folks don't see a need to deal with it now, after this experience, then you can bet most folks never will. But we got to stress this human rights thing. We got to stress it to all the children. Have you noticed this? Is there a class out here on human rights? There's one out here on public affairs, though, right? A whole department, right? It's a public affairs university, right?
And that was Ibana Kantako speaking at the University of Illinois at Springfield on February 18th, 1998. That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.